happy to have you here, everyone coming out and joining us. So we're going to read the Word of God. We're going to start with Luke 14 and the 15th verse. If you stand for the reading of the Word, we're going Luke 14. We're going to start with verse 15 and read through 24. It says in verse 15, "And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Amen. Then he said unto him, A certain man made a supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all went with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them, and I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Many heard that before. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and maimed and halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go unto the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of these men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. While you're standing, let us pray. Precious Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, Lord. We first thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for waking us up and starting us on our way, Lord, because without that, we would not be here and be able to celebrate you, Lord. Lord, as your word comes forth today, Lord, that we ask that you reduce me and increase you, Lord, where this word be to your people, whatever it needs to be to them, Lord, that whatever in their life that they need, that this meets them like you met Paul on the road to Damascus, Lord. Lord, we ask that you touch each and every ear to hear what you have. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The title of the message is Success Occurs When Your Goals Become Bigger Than Your Excuses. Success occurs when your goals become bigger than your excuses. So, we're starting in verse 15, but I'm going to set the stage for you because I know the biblical scholars in the room, my aunt being one of them, this particular text is really talking about ministry. And it's really talking about ministry, but it has a different application in our lives as well. And that application is what we're going to be talking about today. So, in verses 1 through 14, Jesus was feasting with the Pharisees, and then he healed on the Sabbath day, right? He healed on the Sabbath, right? And so, Jesus, right after that, he gave a parable in summation on how to conduct yourselves as a guest. Now, this isn't part of the message, but I want to let you know what happened, because in verse 15, as a result of what Jesus was talking about in verses 1 through 14, in verse 15, it says, and one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things. He said unto him, Blessed is he that eat bread in the kingdom of God. See, this is like our goals. See, he understood, the person that was sitting there, he understood that being in the presence of God made all the sense in the world. Yes. Right? And it's like a lot of times with our goals, we know they make sense. Right? We put our heart to something, we want to accomplish some things, and we know that they make sense. Yeah. You know, but a lot of times in our lives, we just don't do what we're supposed to do.
Right.
Like, what are the goals that you've had, right? Maybe you want to fit in that old prom dress or suit, right? Maybe you want to do that. Maybe it's starting your own business. Maybe it's getting closer to God. But this particular person, they knew that it was blessed was the person that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. We have to go after our goals like that. right? We have to go after our dreams like that. You know, whether it's repairing your marriage or mending an old relationship, those goals are completely important to what we're doing. So now we're going to go down to verse 16. Get my papers and stuff here.
Amen.
All right. In verse 16, we're going to tackle 16 and 17 together. It says, "Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. And he had sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready." Now, the thing I love about this particular text is because you, like, now things are ready. Now, the original text is talking about ministry, but it brought me back to a story because they knew it was right to be in the kingdom of God, because blessed is the man who would be in the kingdom of God. And now it was ready. It was time for the supper, and it was time for them to go and be able to do things. So here's the opportunity. What will you do with it? Amen. This is when it's time to take action. See, it's great to have a goal, but you also have to take action. You know, when I was in college, I worked at a hotel. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the owners of the hotel, I talked to them one day and I said, "What made you want to be in the hotel business?" And, you know, he sat me down and he said, "Well, you know what? My wife and I, we had a goal to be in the hotel business." See, I went to college in the upper peninsula of Michigan, and you know, they called it downstate. There was a husband and wife, and they lived down here, and they worked at the factory. Neither one of them had ever been to college, but they had a goal, right? And their goal was, we want to own a hotel. We like entertaining, and we're going to own a hotel. So they started saving, and they started, you know, work together. They were on one accord. They said, "We're going to save." And now, not only do they have one hotel, they have three hotels and two restaurants. These are ordinary people. And I'm not talking about just, you know, mom and pop hotels. These are huge hotels that they have. But part of why God has blessed them is because they took action. Action is very imperative if you want to hit your goals. It's extremely important. You know, I told some friends and family, "I want to be in real estate. I want to be in real estate. There's a lot of things going on, and I want to do that." And, you know, 2 days later, I looked in the paper, and there was like a real estate apprenticeship thing, right? It was like, man, I'm like, God, you are awesome, right? Holy smokes. I mean, and it was all kind of things you had to do, but one of the requirements was a resume. Now, I haven't made a resume in 10, 15 years. I'm like, resume, okay. That seems like an easy request. Deadline's approaching. All I have to do is put a resume together. I did not do it. Did not take action. A lot of our goals are like that. We say we want things, but it is a requirement to do something. Right? It's not enough just to talk about it.
Come on now.
You know? But one of my favorite things to say is, well done is better than well said. Right? Because a lot of people talk about all the things they want to do. And I love verse 18. It says, "And they all with one consent began to make excuse." Boy, that's a lot like us sometimes.
Yeah.
"And they all with one consent began to make excuse." Yes. They knew it was right to go to the kingdom of God, to go at supper.
Yeah.
But they came together, what I like to call groupthink. Right? See, excuse number one that we need to stop making is needing the validation of other people. You got to stop needing other folks to commit for you to commit.
Right.
You know, you want to go somewhere. You know, people do this with the gym all the time. They're like, you know, I'd work out if I had somebody to go with me.
Yeah.
If I had some company.
Yeah.
Well, if it's your goal,
right?
Yeah.
It has to be bigger than your excuse. You don't need to be bigger than your excuse. Your goal has to be bigger than your excuse. Amen. Right? Your goal has to be bigger than your excuse. You know, I like to read a lot. Now, I was reading about Disney Company, Disney, right? You know, magical place and all this other stuff, right? And I was thinking about, I was reading about Disney. But back in 1999, Disney bought a company that did search engines. They were search like Google, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, it's funny how groupthink starts to work and starts to apply to your life, because the CEO of Disney at the time, he said, you know, man, maybe we should advertise in our searches. And people start saying, well, no, that's against the Disney brand. That's against the Disney brand. They're like, yeah, it's against the Disney brand. That was a $100 billion mistake. Wow. 1 year later, Google AdWords was invented. And the rest is history. Wow. Like, Google's a verb. I use Google. Like, if, even though I'm using Bing, I say Google. Yeah, just Google it. Right? You want to say, yeah, just Google it. Right? Think about how a decision in groupthink alters history. Right? Alters history. If Disney had made and did what they were supposed to do, man, poor Google might be bye-bye. Right? Might be bye-bye. And, you know, it's funny because as adults, we tell our kids, don't give in to peer pressure, be a leader, all this other stuff, but we do the same thing.
Amen.
Right? We need other people's validation in order. You need somebody to tell you you're doing good. You need somebody to tell you you can sing. You need somebody to tell you this and that in order for you to take action. We have to trust in God, not worry about everybody else.
Amen.
Now, the second half of verse 18, it says, the first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. See, excuse number two is, I am just too busy. I am just too busy. See, we have to get our priorities in the right place instead of the wrong place.
Right.
See, it's easier as a kid, because when I would act up as a kid or need to do something, my mom would make sure I was reprioritized. Sometimes her belt did it. Sometimes her tongue did it. Man. And some people say, you know, kids say, man, the speech is worse than the whooping. You ain't even whooped by my mama. You go ahead and talk if you want to. I'm good with that. All right? I'm good. Okay? So, we have to reprioritize. You know, I was reading a story as I was preparing for this message about priorities. And in the news, it was a woman who had her child in the back seat. Child was 2 years old. And it was hot, I believe it was in Texas, and she decided she wanted to just run into the store. Okay, you say, well, I would never do that, but she did. She turned the car off too, which I always find weird, okay? So she turned the car off, went into the store, came back, her 2-year-old's in the back seat, her keys are also locked in the car. She got her cell phone, she calls 911. The fire department hurries and gets there. The fire department comes. And they said, ma'am, your 2-year-old in the back, the 2-year-old was starting to show signs of, you know, going out, you know, like fainting, being non-responsive. And they said, ma'am, we have to break your window in order to save this kid. And you talk about priorities, you think she would say, yeah? She's like, oh, no, hold on, I don't want my car. He's like, this car right here? Oh, no. She said, I live a mile away. I just need to borrow somebody's car to go home and get my spare keys, and I'll come back. Now, see, this mother left to go get her keys. Now, thank God the fire department broke the window anyway. Right? They broke the window anyway. Now, you know, they did charge her. Right, so they shouldn't charge. They didn't charge. She was probably arrested on her return. And you might say, well, I would never do that. But you do that every day for your goals. You make something else more important than what you have committed to doing. Right? Now, it might not be as outlandish as leaving your child in the back seat. But think about how we just kick those things to the side that we're supposed to be doing. Now, in an example like this, it's crystal clear what you should be doing.
Right.
But it's also crystal clear that the things that, the goals that you have in your life need to be bigger than your excuses. Right? So it's not enough to be able to do this. And I'm just happy that Jesus wasn't too busy to save us. I'm just happy he didn't reprioritize us. Because we were wondering, right? We weren't worried. He could have looked and said, oh, you want me to do what? Right? And reprioritize, right? Yeah. You know, like we do.
Amen.
Myself included. Yeah.
Amen.
You know, verse 19 says, and another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. Excuse number 3 is, I don't have time. Now you're saying, what's the difference between excuse 2 and excuse 3? He is going, or she, gotta be careful there. They're going to, they bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to prove them. The equivalent of them going to test this oxen at night is the equivalent of you taking a flashlight at noon on a sunny day trying to see how well it works. There's no reason to go do this. It wasn't even time to do this. You're going out with oxen at night talking about you don't have time to go do this when you can't do nothing.
Right?
It's like having your flashlight out. So, you know, the difference here is future focus versus present focus.
Yeah. Amen.
See, a lot of times we don't do the things in the present because we're worried about how it makes us feel. We're going to work out. Man, I don't feel like getting up. I don't feel like doing this. I don't feel like doing that. Because we're not having the future focus. The future focus is you on the beach how you want to be, or you're feeling how you want to feel, or looking how you want to look, or whatever the case may be. It is important to have a future focus and not a present focus.
Come on now.
You know, there was an experiment done at Stanford, and they had 4-year-old kids with marshmallows. Now, I told my cousin Nick this story. You know, they had marshmallows in a room with 4-year-olds. And they looked at the 4-year-olds and they said, look, if here's a marshmallow. If you do not eat it in 15 minutes, we're going to come back and we'll give you another marshmallow. And asking a 4-year-old not to eat a marshmallow is asking you not to have your morning coffee. So they had to wait 15 minutes. And so they studied these kids. And they would leave the room. And it's on video. They leave the room. The kids would look around and marshmallow gone. Right? You know, marshmallow just gone. Like, you know, they couldn't wait 15 minutes for another marshmallow. They would have had 2. Now, the interesting thing is, they studied these kids from 4 years old up into their adult life. They found that the kids who ate the marshmallow were on harder times on average than the kids who did not eat the marshmallow. Because they had to understand future focus instead of present focus. See, your present focus will want to eat that marshmallow, right? It looks tasty. It's a nice little treat, but you have to have future focus in order to be able to hit your goals. Because if your goals are big enough, right, and you think about them differently, success will occur instead of the excuse of I am just too busy or I don't have time. Now, we're at verse 20 now, and it says, and another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. He even asked the big excuse. He's like, I ain't coming. You see who I'm hitched with? And excuse number 4 is my family just won't allow me to do it. They won't allow me to do it. Right? See, I have a friend, and he always tells the same old stories, right? Yeah, anybody have those friends or those pastors? Tell the same story. You know, that he always tells the same story. And the story he always tells is, my grandfather thought drive-through coffee, he invented it in his mind. But he went home to his wife, and she said, no, drive-through coffee will never work, right? It will never work. It's a bad thing. Nobody wants drive-through coffee. Everybody makes their coffee at home. So he thinks his grandfather should have been Tim Horton, right? He thinks his grandfather invented drive-through coffee. But guess what? His grandfather didn't take action.
Yeah.
So you can allow your family to separate you from your goals if you want to,
right?
And then you'll be left with a story to tell.
Right?
But that's it.
Right?
You can allow the people in your household to tell you you can't do things and all this other kind of good stuff. But, you know, instead of your family being a reason not to do something, it can be a reason for you to do something.
Yeah.
I had a cousin who had 3 kids before the age of 20. You can say yikes because it was like that. Ooh, right? But instead of letting her circumstance dictate that, ended up going and getting even a college degree for her family instead of using it as an excuse not to do anything. See, a lot of times there's going to be pessimists around you. There's a lot of people that chalked her up and thinking, I remember when my mom came home and told me, she said, your cousin have another baby. I'm like, Lord, have mercy. Goodness gracious. Wow. But you know what? The story can be written if you allow it to be. But you have to push yourself and know that your goals, look, we've all made mistakes.
Amen.
We've all done things. I know nobody in church made a mistake.
Amen.
Right? Yeah, right. Amen. Hey, ain't nobody saying amen. Yeah, I don't know. Not me. Yeah, okay. Yeah, good luck with that. Right? But, you know, the story is not written at that point. Now, we're going to tackle verses 21 and 22 together. It says, so the servant came and showed his Lord these things. Don't forget, these people just made all these excuses. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. See, now the text is really referring to the 12 disciples, but our excuses take us away from our goals and the things of God. Now, God can use anyone. That's what I love about God. He can use anyone. We have to change our mindset and stop making excuses for not hitting our goals. There are countless examples of what God was able to do in spite of. If you think about, most people think about great leaders. And they think, if you're a great leader, a lot of times they think you need to be a great speaker. Well, Moses had a stutter. Right? And God still used him. Abraham was too old. David was too young. Jacob was a deceiver, can I say liar yet? I couldn't say it when I was growing up. I'm not sure. A little uncomfortable saying that, so I put deceiver. I couldn't say liar, so I just, all right, sorry, Ma. Okay, so Jacob was a deceiver. Now, one thing I love about this is after God went and got the mane, the stick, all of this stuff, and there was still room. There's still room for you. There's still room for your goals. There's still room for you to do the things that you need to do. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter if you have a stutter. It doesn't matter if you think you're too old. My mom, she ain't old, but she went and got a college degree in her
latter years.
That's the Holy Ghost right there, keeping me out of trouble. Amen. Amen. Woo. Amen for that.
Amen.
You know, there was still room after all of that. Go think about it. If you're poor and maimed or whatever, and you get to have a great supper, they're going out trying to find anybody they can, and it's still room. Your goals aren't over. They're not done. They just have to be bigger than your excuses. They have to be bigger than your excuses. Now, a lot of times, I'm the biggest, you know, proponent of saying, church is too long. I give them a hard time. Church is too long. Church is too long. And normally when they say they're almost done, you're here another 45 minutes. Well, I'm almost done. And we're going to be out. Verses 23 and 24 says, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my my stuff. It is time for us to take action.
Amen.
Right? It's not too late. See, now these people in our they were dumb. Right? They were dumb. But we have to defy the odds. We have to reach for our goals. And we have to rewrite our story. So whatever it is that you're going through, whatever it is that you want to achieve, you know, that paper you have in front of you, I'm going to challenge you to write a couple of goals out. Right? Write a couple of goals and turn them over to God. Believe God for them. Because God can do anything. God has shown the ability to be able to make something huge out of nothing.
Right?
Out of things that we're surprised about. You know, sometimes you look at people and you're like, how did they do that? How did they do that? I wish I would do that. I wish I had that. I wish I had this. Stop wishing. Right? Take action. Right? It's time for us to deliver. Because I know, you know what? I'm happy my family's here. And some of them heard me say this. You know, I talk about this at work all the time. You know, sometimes you got to play for the jersey, for the name on the back of the jersey. That's what I said. You know, family legacy is important. Right? And so a lot of things I do it for my family. And it's important to me. But whatever it is that's important to you, you have to get it done.
Yeah.
Right? Because there's a million reasons to not do something.
Yeah.
All you need is one good one that you will commit to,
right
to be able to do awesome things in God. Let's give God some praise. I ask everybody to stand. Everybody to stand. You know. So, now I want to pray with you today. You know, I've been asking God what He'd like to do, but we're gonna pray together. So I'm gonna ask that you take your neighbor by the hand. But before you do that, I want us to get our heart and minds right. I want you to think about the excuses that you've made. I want you to think about the goals that you have, right? And I want you to think about what you want from God, right? And so as we have a song now, before we pray, I want you to turn it all over to God. Get your mind right.
All of heaven roars your name, scream louder. Let this place erupt with praise. Can you
think
hear
about the things of God right now?
The sound of heaven.
Think about what you
need.
get your mind on the things of God right now. Precious Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, your people are holding hands together, Lord, to celebrate corporate anointing, Lord. We're believing for the person next to us, Lord. We're believing for the person on the right and to the left of us, Lord. We're not worried about ourselves because we know you're going to take care of us. We're going to pray and believe for the person next to us, Lord. There's excuses that are coming up against us right now, Lord. Whatever excuses we made, we turn them over to you, Lord. We're going to commit to you and our goals and the things that we're supposed to get done, Lord. No matter what is going on in each life, Lord, we're going to concentrate and push, Lord. And no matter what sickness, affliction, whatever it is that comes up against us, Lord, we will not make an excuse. We will forge ahead because we know that you have used men and women of God who are a lot like us, Lord, who might be just a little bit damaged at times. And we haven't always done what we're supposed to do, Lord. But in Jesus' name, we're delivered. In Jesus' name, we're set free. In Jesus' name, we will accomplish the things we want to accomplish.